Cruising Boxing Times, gents. I'm back. I'm not in the suit coat like Filthy Rich, but Filthy Rich, you were looking handsome last week. I got to tell you that. You were looking stylish whenever you put on that host coat. That coat, you know, you means business. But Raider Live here back in the host chair where I belong, where I've been. Sorry I missed last week, boys. Missed you. Saw you guys all drinking Bush Latte, so I had to go to the store and pick up my own Bush Latte, as you can see here. Going to try that out. Amazingly, I got a six-pack for like $5. So I'm not putting too much hair on it, which was also weird that the Kate was more expensive than Bush Latte. Weird. Anyway, big intro for me. With me, as always, is Filthy Rich. Filthy Rich, how are you?
Look, the NBA playoffs are underway, so here's my stat for you, my LeBron stat for you. There's one player who has 118 30-plus point games in the playoffs. I'll leave it at that.
Hey, the LeBron stat. Both me and LeBron have the same amount of points in this year's NBA playoffs.
Oh.
All right. And go Timberwolves. All right. With me, as always, well, is the judge, Jimmy James. Judge, what's up?
Not too much, man. Looking forward to some boxing talk, as always. Maybe some basketball today, right? Timberwolves are up 1-0 over the Grizzlies. They're going to be up 2-0 after they beat them tonight. So obviously you're going
to
see.
And the Yankees are up too, if you wanted to know.
No, oh, they're out of here.
Pretty sure Vlad Guerrero hit two home runs off of Garrett Cole. So how's that
old
looking?
That's old news.
Yeah, old news. Must be fake news. All right. And then with us always, with some big news, is Matty Bush. Bush, what's up, buddy?
Oh, yeah. I got a couple things to say. Yeah, big news. I'm having a daughter. Yep, we've already talked about that. I know. Yep, the world is going to end.
I'll drink tonight.
But, yeah, and to just kind of, you know, go on the coattails of the Minnesota Timberwolves, my boy Ant Edwards said they're going to sweep the Grizzlies. What's up?
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. I don't think they're going to do that, but it's going to be awesome if they win. And by the way, NFL draft next week, James. Hopefully we draft the sauce. The sauce coming to the Vikings. That'd be awesome. Trade up.
I don't know. Sauce. I tried to do a dance, like opened a packet of sauce and squeeze it. It didn't work.
Yeah, I got it. All right. All right, gentlemen. Crack your Bush lattes. Your $1.10 beer that you made me buy here. Cheers,
that's
boys.
20,
good to be back.
It's $20.
Cheers.
That is better than the Tecate, but not by much.
I don't think so.
A lot of news to get to, so let's move on with the show. Bruising news time. Apparently, our program director went to the same math school as Matty Bush, but it doesn't matter. We got a lot of bruising news to get to. Just actually not a lot, but a few good nuggets before we review some big fights from last weekend. First one, the man with the fastest hands in the world, according to Matty Bush, Andy Ruiz Jr., is set to fight Luis Ortiz this summer after Tyrone Sprung dropped out of the Thriller fight. I'm going to start with the man who says he has the fastest hands in the world, Matty Bush. What do you think about this, Andy Ruiz fighting Luis Ortiz, when we don't know how old Ortiz is, by the way? He could be 21, he could be 55, we don't know.
Well, he initially had a fight, and I forget the guy's name. I'm sure these guys got it.
Tyrone Sprung, I just said it.
Yeah, well, let's just say that that's an easier fight than this, because the old man, the King Kong, is still a dangerous man. Andy probably needed one more kind of comeback fight before he took on someone like King Kong. But, hey, good for him for saying, let's do it. Them fast hands will be shining, and they better be shining, because if they don't shine, he's going to get put down.
Interesting. I'm going to pass it up to the judge here real fast, too. Judge, what do you think about King Kong fighting Ruiz? Is this the big fight that you kind of look for in the secondary heavyweight market?
Well, Andy Ruiz has to fight somebody. All right?
That's true, he does.
The fact that he was going to fight, he's been out of the game for this long, and he was going to fight Spong on Thriller, that was the fight? I don't think so. He got so much flack from this. A ridiculous amount of flack for this, which is probably why he took the Ortiz fight. After a lot of this happened, he needs to fight somebody against Ortiz. Might be a bad choice, but either way, at least he's fighting somebody that's a big name in the heavyweight division. Still, at least in my opinion, he just beat Ortiz, just beat Charles Martin, right? I don't think he's going to go away. We all know he's got a suspect chin, but either way, it's still King Kong Ortiz. This is Andy Ruiz is going to have to show something, and hopefully he learned something when he was with the Reynoso's camp for that hot minute, because he's probably going to need it.
Well, he has shown some things in the past. He also has shown laziness when it comes to training and stuff as well. Filthy Rich, what do you think about this? Is this too much for Andy Ruiz to chew or bite? Did he take off more than he could chew, I should say, with King Kong? Or is this seem about right where he needs to be?
No, this is too much for him. He is rusty. He needs to have a tune-up fight. And sounds like Sprong is it Sprong or Spong? Whoever this guy is, sounds like a tune-up fight for me. And that's the direction he should go. The only downside to that is he may run into like a Mikey Garcia situation where Mikey took a tune-up fight and lost and all his stock plummeted. Now he can't get a big fight. So if Ruiz takes the easier fight, he better win, because if he loses, his stock plummets. He goes in to fight Luis Ortiz, who's fresh off a fight from January. I don't think he's going to win this fight. There's got to be some rust there. We already know I want to call it laziness. We don't know who his trainer is. There's got to be an easier fight to get that ring rust off. But maybe this is a big dollar fight. Maybe this is it for him. I don't know what's going to happen with his career, but this should be a win for Luis Ortiz, if you ask me.
Interesting, because I think looking at this and reading this, this is a make or break fight for Ruiz. With the top of the heavyweight division possibly opening up here soon, if you're going to be in that contention for the big money, you better be able to beat Luis Ortiz. If you can't beat Luis Ortiz, you have no chance of getting in the big fights anymore against Joshua or Wilder or anyone like that.
Look, he could beat Luis Ortiz. He's not ready for Luis Ortiz. He needs a tune-up fight before he gets in the ring with Ortiz.
But I agree.
I think about a year ago, this would have made for a really good fight, but he's not ready for it. I don't think he is.
I seem to remember you saying something about Ruiz.
I never said like that.
Ortiz, something like that back in the day. I don't know.
Maybe I did.
I think you did. Well, we'll see how that one turns out. That would be an interesting heavyweight fight to look at here. Let's move on to the next bit of news here, though. Your boy, cocaine head Oscar De La Hoya, offers Isaac Cruz a cool $1 million. $1 million to fight, you know who, the sexiest man in all of boxing. Play the song, James. Woo! Oh, look at him. Good looking he is. And I tell you, Isaac Cruz may ruin that face. I'm a little worried about it. What do you think? Is he going to take a cool million? It seems like a cool million seems to be a little light. I'll go to Filthy Rich since he knows all about the money. He knows all about the Benjamins. A little light there, Filthy Rich?
It's a little bit light. I think Cruz is worth more. I think it gets eyes on him. I don't know what Ryan Garcia's numbers look like as far as views and draws, but...
We talking Instagram?
Just pay-per-view number-wise, but... Isaac Cruz, Isaac Cruz, because of the Bible. Hello, Matty Bush. Marvelous. This guy's he's a star. I hate to say he's a star to me, man. This guy, he got the draw with Gervonta Davis. I don't know who else beats this guy. He's going to destroy Ryan Garcia. I don't know why De La Hoya is making this offer. Maybe Ryan's in his ear saying something, but I don't think Garcia wants any piece of Isaac Cruz. Networks will get in the way. Something will happen. But if Cruz takes his deal, this might be the highest check he's ever going to get, because I don't see how anyone else is going to want to get in the ring with him with that kind of offer. But I would let this marinate. I'd let this wait for a couple of years. You can get $5 million to fight Ryan.
A million just seems like real bad lowball. It seems like, what was it, 1991, where this made a lot of like $1 million is worth more. I feel like the cocaine in De La Hoya's trunk is worth more than $1 million. You know, so Judge, what do you think about that? That just doesn't seem like enough sauce, right?
I don't know what you're talking about sauce for, but this is a million. What do you think this is light on? What did he make last time? What did Garcia make against to go? Do we even know those numbers? Because if we don't know those numbers, we don't know if $1 million is not enough money to fight. These guys are both 23 years old, man. This is pretty early in their career. Isak Cruz hasn't had anything except for his last two fights. Ryan Garcia hasn't been back except for to go. I mean, he got knocked down in his fight previous and then went on a hiatus. Mm-hmm. Like, Garcia probably doesn't even need that money with his millions and millions of Instagram followers. He's probably making bank on that too. So if Oscar De La Hoya wants to put up his cocaine money, $1 million for that to go have, you know, Isak Cruz fight him, I mean, why not do it? Because if he wins that, oh my God, talk about payday. He's going to get a payday against somebody because he's going to get a giant fight. 100%. Or even a rematch, something like that. But I don't know. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, but I need some numbers, some better numbers for what they were getting before. But that could be a big amount for Isak Cruz right now.
That's a fair assessment. That's a fair assessment that we don't know exactly where the numbers were before. You're shaking your head saying it's not. But just because it's not the money, it's not filthy rich money, doesn't mean it's not money to somebody. But Isak Cruz, he looks like a guy that is going to be making a lot of bank here soon, especially the way he fought Gervonta Davis and another guy that we'll talk about later. Matty Bush, I'll throw it to you here. I know $1 million would be a lot to you. That's a lot of Bush lattes. But do you think it's enough to fight Ryan Garcia, the sexiest man in all of boxing?
I say you take that all day right now, because what I saw of Ryan Garcia last fight, Isak Cruz walks through him like a freight train. And I'm pretty sure Isak should change his name from the Pitbull to Isak Old Testament Cruz. I'm just saying. I think it's a pretty good name. But yeah, from what I saw of Ryan Garcia, Isak walks through him in 5-6 rounds. And that's a cool million. And his clout will go up for beating a name like Ryan Garcia.
Fair enough. He still will never have the Instagram numbers that Ryan Garcia has. All right, moving on to the last bit of news we have here. Floyd Mayweather getting back in the headlines here, says he expressed interest in signing Terrence Crawford, your guy, James, your guy, and Matty Bush's guy too, but I know Filthy Rich loves to hear about whose guys are who, but Terrence Crawford to a contract. When I read that, I felt like that's good for Crawford and bad for boxing. I don't know if you guys got that impression too. I feel like Mayweather fighters are way too protected, but they make a lot of money. I'm curious to hear what you guys think. James, I'll start with you this time.
Look, Crawford hasn't got a fight yet since he's parted ways with Top Rank. Mm-hmm. He needs to fight somebody on his own. Don't sign with another promotion. I understand that Mayweather does make money. I mean, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's what he says, and that's what everybody else says. But, I mean, I ain't seeing vague statements. But why jump in to join Mayweather Promotions? Like, Tank Davis just got out of there. Why did Tank just leave? It's the same thing as, like, why are people leaving Lombroso camp? Like, it doesn't make sense, right? If these guys are so highly touted, why are people getting away from them? It doesn't make sense. You'd want to stay with someone who's making you a lot of money. I say no. I say, Terrence Crawford, you stay by yourself. You run the line. You hit a fight or two by yourself. Or no, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm sticking with. That's my gun. I'm sticking with
that. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, that's my gun.
All right. Filthy Rich, I'm going to go to you actually on this one as well. Next, what do you think about this? I mean, you kind of agree with me that Mayweather is kind of bad for boxing, but good for the payday?
Yeah, I think I hear what you're saying, but keep in mind, Mayweather's not like exclusively linked to Showtime and the PBC. He's got guys fighting over at DAZN. I think I get what James is saying, but Mayweather's a savvy businessman. Maybe he needs to learn business savvy from Mayweather before he goes off on his own. So sign a 1 or 2 or 3 fight deal with Mayweather, get a few fights in there. Mayweather's probably going to show you the ropes on how to take care of your own career. So I think for the interim, yeah, sign with Mayweather. You're going to get that Spence fight right away. Isn't this what we want? I mean, this fight, I didn't think this was ever going to happen. Now we're probably going to be seeing this. So sign with Mayweather. Mayweather's probably going to get a chunk of that money, but at least you will know how to manage your career moving forward if you keep Bob Arum out the way, because Bob Arum's still on the table. And let's not do Bob Arum. Almost anything is better than Bob Arum. So just do Mayweather before you go on your own. Do Mayweather, then probably, yeah, I guess I get what James is saying. Move on your own.
All right. Matty Bush, it seems like you're the man in the middle. Which way are you leaning?
I don't do this often, but I agree with James. Sorry, Richie. Stay on your side. Like James said, this fight can happen. You're a big enough name in boxing. Do it your own way. Do it your own way. You are one of the pound-for-pound kings right now in boxing. Do it the way you want to do it. Make your money. Take the fights you want, and I know which one you want. We'll get into that later. I agree with James. Sorry, Richie.
I agree with James, too, but, like, he's going to lose money fighting Spence. You got to get a promoter in there to make you the most money you can. Because if he settles for bottom dollar, which is probably what's going to happen if he goes on his own, I don't know. Like, not to say you're going to lose or you're going to win, but the money you're throwing away by not having somebody negotiating for you is a mistake. You better have someone in your corner at first. Because after the Spence money's gone, you're not going to see any money like that ever again. Pacquiao never saw that money again. No one's going to see that kind of money again. Put your hand down.
You got one thing to worry about, though. Oh, go ahead, James.
No, you go ahead. What are you saying, Raider?
I was going to say, you have one thing to worry about when it comes to Mayweather and money. Mayweather's going to get that money, and sometimes you ain't going to have it, just like James's guy, Adrian Broner. Play that music. He's got no money to his name after signing to Mayweather. He's got $6. So, go ahead,
look, James. We don't know that Terrence Crawford can't promote himself, all right? Bob Arum, we know, can't promote Terrence Crawford. Terrence Crawford may be able to promote Terrence Crawford. We have absolutely no idea because he hasn't even done anything yet. So to your credit, if you're saying that he's leaving a lot of money on the table, I think that's a little on the one end of the spectrum. It's a possibility, but I don't think it's like, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen. But I mean, I don't know, man. That's all I got to say. I think it's a little harsh.
To be fair, though, James, as you brought up, he's been on his own a while now, and he still hasn't booked a fight. You know, I mean, that's something to say there, too. If he's been alone for how long? He hasn't booked a fight yet.
He just fought Sean Porter.
Yep.
Was that on his own, though?
No.
I thought that was the last one. That was the last one he had to do a top rank, right?
Yeah, but he's just hanging out.
But that wasn't the one that he promoted on his own, so I'm just saying.
He hasn't promoted anything on his own, but if somebody hasn't done anything, man, you're already telling him he's terrible at it. That's ruthless.
Just saying, he's had a lot of time and he hasn't done anything yet. You know,
or kind of like Matty Bush and Matt. Miller.
It takes a long time. He stares at it.
Jarrell Miller was promoting himself. He cut the middleman out, but who knows how much money he's lost or gained or whatever. I mean, he's on the shelf.
The only real man that's really been able to pull it off.
All of you on the shelf,
you know. So maybe Canelo and Mayweather are the only two people that really promoted themselves successfully, correctly? Correct? Yes? No? Like, very well? Money-wise? Those two, can you guys think of anyone else that's promoted themselves? And I said Mayweather and Canelo are pretty much the only two that have ever
Jarrell promoted Miller. Themselves. I just said Jarrell Miller.
He didn't make that kind of money.
He didn't make any
he
money.
But he wasn't good. It wasn't like he was pound for pound. But he was a top 10 fighter. Then he started failing drug tests, got suspended. Probably won't be back in boxing for another year because of the suspension. But Canelo and Mayweather are just different entities. Terrence Crawford is not Mayweather or Canelo. I don't know if anyone is.
Yeah, he's better. Thank you, James.
Maybe better in the ring, but he's not better business wise yet. He hasn't proven that.
He does not have the following Canelo and Mayweather have.
And that's the problem with people who follow boxing, because they're not following Terrence Crawford. They're not watching the backstage videos of when he sees Errol Spence back before Terrence had even moved up in weight. And I'm going to probably use a bad word. We're going to have to Errol Spence backstage goes, "You two lighten that ass," and then Terrence Crawford
say ass. Ass is fine.
Errol Spence goes, "You two lighten that ass," and Terrence Crawford goes, "Let's bet a million." Terrence Crawford want to throw that money down for that fight. He can promote himself.
I remember that. I remember that, man.
That's not a promotion. That's not a promotion.
No. That's nothing.
No, but if people started paying attention to what's happening when they're
brilliant.
Oh, there it was. There's the first one.
You couldn't spell that one out.
He couldn't help that one. But let me point out this last part there. You say he's not as big a name as Canelo and Mayweather. And the ESPN sure as heck is trying to promote him as the biggest name in boxing right now. Besides, you know, they've been promoting him as their number one pound for pound for a long time.
I have not seen him on ESPN at all. You can look
up the ESPN rankings. I have know had him that's number what one
you're
forever.
Doing. I know exactly what you're doing. You're looking up stuff online, but
They promote Lomachenko, man.
There are people on ESPN, and I don't see him on ESPN. That's how you promote it. I see UFC guys more on ESPN than I do top rank guys. That is a problem. Terrence Crawford is going to get out of top rank. You're never even going to see him on ESPN anymore. I haven't seen Errol Spence on ESPN yet. For some reason, he's still a big name, I think, and I could be wrong. No, I can't.
No, you're not. You're never wrong. So I'll just go with that. You're never wrong. It's fine, except for about LeBron making the playoffs. But
I like Terrence Crawford. I like Terrence Crawford. Terrence Crawford is a good fighter. He is, I don't want to say underrated because he's rated where he needs to be, but he is not the household name that he needs to be. And part of that is Bob Arum's fault. Part of that's ESPN's fault. I don't know why they have a deal with Top Rank if they're not going to put guys on. They have a deal with UFC guys, yet I see UFC guys all over the place. So this is pinned on Bob Arum, Todd DeBuff, and ESPN. Terrence needs to get out of there, but I don't know. It's not like anyone had, I guess FS1, maybe we'll see if he signs with Showtime or Al Heyman, he'll probably get on Fox.
Get out of here.
Last word, Matty.
I gotta say something to Richie. Terrence Crawford is not a good fighter. He's a great fighter. Thank you.
That's what you were raising your hand for?
Jeez, what did he say?
Oh, don't worry about it. Watch the show.
It's terrible. I did have a confession that I gave Matty Bush earlier today that I'm going to bring up later when it comes to Terrence Crawford. So you guys might be want to hear that. Stay tuned for that. We'll talk about that in Bruiser Reviews, which is coming up next. So let's move on with the show.
Five.
Bruiser Reviews time, as you can tell by the picture behind me here, if you're watching it on YouTube. I may have lost some money betting on that, man, but we'll get to that fight in a second. We're going to talk about the undercard first. Our guy, Isaac Cruz, our guy, Rich, our guy, soon to be, fought Gamboa. James, why don't you break that fight down? Because that was interesting, but also a sad fight to watch, for in my eyes.
Oh, boy. Well, I thought this was going to be a really good fight, right? This was going to be Isaac Cruz just came off of Tank Davis. We know Gamboa is Gamboa, right? He been dropped 17 times before this fight. We obviously know he's got a chin, but he always gets up. So what was going to happen? Was Isaac Cruz, was his power actually going to translate over? Or was Gamboa actually going to show up and, like a Kiko Martinez, right? Like all of a sudden just, bam, I'm old and I'm gonna come back for one big fight. Well, Isaac Cruz, good old Pitbull, came out pretty hard throughout the entire fight. I think he could have been a lot better than he was, but he was throwing punches and haymakers, overhands,
anything he wanted, basically.
Just nonstop. Gamboa was knocked down in the second, third, and fourth round. A couple of those shots were, honestly, Gamboa was held up a couple of times by the ropes. I'm surprised. I mean, he did bounce back up like right away and he looked fine, but then he would get hit and didn't look fine, but then he would get back up. I don't know. Maybe that's just, that literally is Gamboa's MO, right? But Isaac Cruz looked like he has a lot of power, And when he hit Gamboa last in the fifth round, before they ended up stopping the fight, Gamboa was just against the ropes on there. I mean, if he wasn't on the ropes how he was, he would have just been on the floor, probably out. But the ref did make a good stoppage. Gamboa just did not look good at all. This was definitely the fight to prove, at least for Isaac Cruz, that he belongs in this, even though it was a 40-year-old Gamboa. This is exactly what you needed to do against Gamboa. You did exactly what you needed to do, and his punches looked like they were rock solid. Like, he was dropping bombs nonstop. So congratulations, Isaac Cruz, with that fifth-round TKO. That's about probably it, man. That's pretty much it. He's just dropping bombs.
I'll add that he was landing both the jab and the uppercut at will. basically whenever he wanted to hit Gamboa, he could. And Gamboa, you're right, would pop back up, which I thought was stupid. He needed to rest and get his bearings. He was jumping up way too quick. And I thought at the end when he hit the ropes there in the stoppage, that was going to be another fall through the ropes kind of deal, because he was definitely out. Great stop. Great stoppage on that. Very dangerous how hard he took on that one. Matty Bush, I'm going to throw it to you here. What's next for Isak Cruz after that very impressive win against Gamboa?
Well, Isak, Old Testament Cruz, there's only one fight. We alluded to it earlier.
Oh.
I want that Ryan Garcia now, and I want it right now. I want that to be the next fight. They both just fought. Let's do it. Let's do it now, because according to Ryan Garcia and De La Hoya, they don't think Isak Cruz is on their level. Let's see what happens when that relentless pit bull comes after you. I want to see it next. I want that cool million. I want everyone to know Isak Cruz's name, and everyone will know his name after he defeats Ryan Garcia. There's only one name right now. It's Ryan Garcia, and I want it to go down.
Hey, look, someone else has their hand up. Go ahead, Judge.
At what weight do they fight?
Whatever weight Isak makes it.
Good answer. All right. Well, Isak Cruz.
He did have a little trouble making weight. I know.
That's not the answer to the question. Judge, what weight would you see them at?
Look, I asked the question because Ryan Garcia caught a catch weight at 139. Isak Cruz was trying to fight at 135, missed weight the first time, got it on the second try. I want to know if Isak Cruz is going to fight at 135 or if they're going to fight at 140. I would have to say it's going to be 140. But that's why I was asking the other expert.
Okay, let's do 140. Hey,
you were asking me? I'm the other expert.
Get out of here, Richie. No, let's do it at 140.
That's filthy rich to you.
That is true.
You better Isak the Burning Bush Cruz versus Ryan Garcia. Play the music one more time. Look at how sexy this man is. That's right. Oh, God. You ain't going to touch that face. He'll be like Narcus Prince in the Super Punch-Out. You can't touch him in the face. Super Punch-Out. Look it up.
By the way, I shaved my beard. I already look better than Garcia.
Boring. You've challenged him many times to your backyard, and he'd kill you. Yeah. All right. Anyway, Filthy Rich, pretty tough. I'll give Gamboa this. He was tough. He kept getting up, and he did take a beating, but he did look very old at the end. What's next for Gamboa?
Well, yeah, Gamboa took a beating from one of the best guys in this division, a guy who probably hits the hardest in this division right now when I think about it. The first name I think could be next, because we don't know if we know he's 40, but does he still have anything left? Fight Jojo Diaz. Jojo Diaz should James's be the
guy?
One. James's guy, Jojo Diaz. This should be someone you should be able to beat. Gamboa just went 12 rounds. He did get knocked out by Gervonta Davis, but going 12 rounds with Davis, only Cruz has been able to do that. Gervonta Davis knocks everyone out, including Gamboa. That's not to diminish Gamboa. Who cares if he's 40 years old? The dude still has something left. He is a skilled fighter. He's not Cuban. He's Dominican. Is that right?
Dominican, yep. Same area.
Dominican dude. I think he can.
Not
I think
the same.
He can beat. Why don't you knock it off? Russia ain't Canada. I think he can. I think he can beat Diaz, but I think Diaz needs someone who thinks he can beat. So I think these two need to go in the ring together. I'll be honest. I'll take Gamboa, because I don't think Gamboa is done unless you think Jojo Diaz is done. A couple other names I have here. Miguel Burchelt, who just I don't know what he's doing at this weight, but he's got to eventually prove that he belongs here. And if he can beat Gamboa, maybe he does belong here. But I think they're evenly matched as well. I think Javier Fortuna, who also can't buy a win or what I don't know what's going on with him either, fight Gamboa. Because Gamboa, these are all 50-50 fights, man. Gamboa can beat any one of these guys, and any one of these guys can beat Gamboa. But the real answer for what's next for Gamboa is an up-and-comer. You guys all know his name. Michelle Rivera. Michelle Rivera is a star at this division. I think he goes in there and he puts on a display. He whoops up Gamboa, but he probably is looking for a fight. He just came off of, I think, a pay-per-view undercard recently. He's up next. Michelle Rivera. I want to see him in Uriorkis Gamboa next.
So you're putting Gamboa All right, let's all face it. He's
don't put your hands down. Cut them off. They don't get to respond.
No, I'm not saying that. I said he's a low gatekeeper status.
Let James go first.
I'm just saying.
Don't let James go.
Isaac Cruz is from Mexico. You said he was from the Dominican Republic. So I'm just correcting you.
No, Gamboa.
Gamboa. We're talking Gamboa.
Watch the show, James.
Michelle Rivera's from the Dominican Republic.
We're talking about what? Gamboa being from Dominican.
Gamboa. I'm covering Gamboa.
I'm done with you.
I just wanted to say.
And he's from Cuba.
Is he Cuban?
That's what we said.
I was going to say Cuban. Then I don't know.
He's from Guantanamo. Whatever.
Send you to Guantanamo.
I will mute myself.
I like that JoJo Gamboa fight. Now that you brought that up, I like
genius. I don't like never that listen fight. To me. I agree with James this week. You need to listen to me.
Okay. Oh, Richie, it's happened a couple times. It doesn't happen often.
I don't know if James could handle watching his guy lose to Gamboa. I mean, that'd be tough to watch. Your guy unmute. JoJo Diaz lose the game, but that'd be tough.
Unmute James because we all know that James wants to fight JoJo as much as most people do.
Much as you want to fight Ryan,
that's his guy.
Yeah,
JoJo's his guy, and you don't want to ever see your guy get beat. So I mean, especially to a guy like Gamboa. But anyway, let's move on to the big fight here. Let's take the judge off of mute here. Let's get to the big fight that happened here. Spence Ugas. I obviously lost some money on Ugas. I thought looking at the weigh-ins that Ugas looked a lot bigger than Spence. And I think he gained some weight and swelling, as you can see in this picture. He was a 4.5-1 underdog. Sorry to those that took my advice on that one. Thankfully, I was on the show last week to say it. But Rich, why don't you break this fight down? Break it down more than his face was broken down, I guess.
Yeah, you know what? Here's what I can say. I think both guys really executed their game plans. I don't know. Like, I don't know what these judges had for scorecards. I was watching the Fight TV version, not the Showtime. So I don't know what Steve Farhood's scorecard was. I don't know what any guys, what they were saying. But let me tell you, for one, the referee was getting a lot of flack. I don't know if it was justified or not. I don't want to put anything on this ref. I thought this was a very, very close fight. But the ringside judges at the end of this fight, which I haven't given it away yet, had Spence winning by sounded like quite a few rounds. I didn't see it that way. I thought this was very close going into what, 6 or 7? I thought it could have went either way, both sides. Now, here's what happened. Here's the vegetarian meat and potatoes here. Spence gets his mouthpiece knocked out in about the 6th round, pauses for a little bit, looks down at his mouthpiece, and I guess this probably doesn't happen to him very often, but maybe in sparring when that happens, you just kind of stop. So he went into that mode where it's like, stop, I got to put the mouthpiece in. Ugas wasn't having it. Yordanis Ugas hit him a couple more times, put Spence on the ropes. Spence is like kind of ready to fight again, and the ref stops the action so Spence can get his mouthpiece in.
Terrible stop.
The ref got scrutinized for that stoppage, which I'm on the fence about. It probably was bad. I can understand that. But at the same time, the mouthpiece has to go back in when the guys aren't fighting, and they weren't fighting. They did stop. Ugas shouldn't have stopped, but they both did stop, called a timeout, got Spence's mouthpiece back in. And this is Murder, She Wrote at this point, because starting at the 7th round, you see the picture there. Ugas got hit in the eye. We all know that was an orbital fracture right off the bat. Now it's just a matter of time. Who stops the fight? Does the corner stop the fight? The ref stop the fight? In this case, the doctor ended up stopping the fight. Referee went to the corner for a timeout, said, doctor, look at this. Ugas declared that he was good to go, and the doctor told him he's good to go. So went for another round. Then what was it, the 8th round? Referee stops it again. Doctor, take a look at this. And the doctor's like, just stop this. And it was stopped. Bad. Errol Spence ends up winning by TKO, doctor's decision.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, the mouthpiece part up. I want to talk to that before we get into the breakdown here, because I had a chance to talk to Matty Bush today about it. And I've seen a lot of comparisons to the instance when Mayweather punched a guy that was putting his hand out to to apologize. This, in my opinion, was not the same thing at all. You have to protect yourself at all times. And Ugas wasn't it wasn't a bad sportsman thing. You need to take advantage. The guy's putting his hands out and you wail on him. And I don't know what stopped him. That was his chance to win there. If he would have attacked him on the ropes, he was on his way down. He was in a lot of trouble, but you give him time to recover and you back off, and the referee gives him time to wash the mouthpiece off. By that time, all the cobwebs are cleared, and now Spence is just angry. And that was Ugas' shot. And I'm glad that you brought it up, because I do not think it was dirty. I just want to get your guys' quick opinion whether it was a dirty shot or not, even though Spence did turn his back on him too, which is a big no-no. You never do that.
Yes, he did. Yes, he turned his back.
Yeah, I've seen some people saying Ugas, that was a cheap shot. I 100% disagree. I think that was not like the Mayweather shot at all. But he's getting flack for it, and I just want to throw that out to you guys before the quick breakdown. Do you guys think that was a dirty shot or not? We'll start with you, Judge. Do you think it was dirty?
Hell no.
No, exactly.
Ugas hit him with a right hook, dropped his mouthpiece. Spence then looked down at the ground. Oh, that's my mouthpiece.
Right.
There was no ref stoppage. There was no ref interaction. He turned around, put his back. You protect yourself at all times. They literally say that before every single fight. Ugas, he hit him twice. If he would have continued, there's a very good chance that fight could have been stopped right there. He hit him twice. He went against the ropes. The ref didn't stop anything. There was a good 3-4 seconds where Ugas just went, okay, I'm not going to throw any.
Right.
Like, I get it, man. There's a respect thing, right? I get both sides of this. Ugas should, in my opinion, Ugas should have pressured. You didn't do anything wrong. I get the fact that he didn't want to do that because, you know, you're respecting somebody. You hit him twice. It's a mouthpiece deal. You don't want to injure somebody. I can understand that, but absolutely not. I don't think Ugas did anything wrong. If he did anything wrong, is that he stopped throwing punches. Good. That was
his chance to win. He had a chance to not give Spence his first knockdown. If that wasn't even a knockdown, when he went up against the ropes, I dare say the ropes may have kept him up. I mean, you could have called that a knockdown in some circles. I've seen that been called a knockdown before, but he needed to attack and he didn't attack. Matty Bush, was it cheap?
No, it was not cheap. You know, that mouthpiece came out. Technically, a ref isn't supposed to come as long as there's not a lull in action. There was a back turn, and he took some shots right after. And guess what? Errol Spence was legitimately hurt after that. He was legit hurt. And I have not ever seen Spence really that hurt ever. God, I really kind of wish he would have kept firing off. Spence didn't know what to do. And Ugas, I don't know why he got so respectful with that. I'll be honest, and these guys are right about that. There should have been no referee interference. I think that if Ugas would have, like, one half of a second and fired one more punch and kept continuing, that ref would have not jumped in. That one half a second.
You got to go attack him on the ropes. Filthy Rich, you're the last one. Was it cheap or not?
Well, there's a piece of me that wants to say, I agree with James. I'm not doing all that. Was it cheap?
No,
absolutely not. 100% no. Yeah, we all say he should have went on the attack. He should have. Who knows what would have happened? I do want to mention, without that orbital bone, this fight was even to me. This fight was even, and they would have given it to Spence anyways. So water under the bridge at this point, man. Ugas got to move on, and I want to see
what's on the big Ugas side of Texas. Spence.
Don't you ever talk when I'm talking. You don't talk when I'm talking.
I'm going to mute everybody. Shut it.
Don't mute me.
All right. I'll mute you too. Everybody.
Richie pointed at me.
I don't care. Time to move.
Point at all of you. All
anyway. All right. Now that we got that out of the way, Matt, what's next for Errol Spence? He kind of alluded to it after the fight.
There's only one
I assume
fight.
You're going to agree with him, but what's next for Errol Spence?
There's only one fight. We all know what it is.
Is it Ryan Garcia?
Do I even need to say the boogeyman?
One more time.
Yes, you do. Do
I need to say the boogeyman's name? James says, I'm going to say it three times like Beetlejuice. Terrence Crawford. Terrence Crawford and Terrence Crawford. That's the next fight. If they do not make this happen while they're still in their primes, it's a travesty to the sport. and I'm upset with it. If they bring Virgil Ortiz in for this, I'm going to be upset. It better be Terrence Crawford. Everyone wants to see it. Any boxing enthusiast knows this is the fight that needs to happen. This is the kings of their division, and let's do it. This is a Hagler-Hearn situation. We need to watch it now while they're still relevant.
Well, I don't know if they're in their primes anymore, but they're...
Yes, they are.
Their primes would have been about 2 years ago when this fight would have been the best, before the car accident, I think. But...
We can't spend all day on this.
Yeah, right. We can. We really can. But we can't tonight.
Right. Here's the confession that I made to Matty Bush today when it came to this. Is watching that fight, the Spence Ugas fight, I have officially changed my position that Terrence Crawford is the better fighter in this, between those two now. I've said Spence for the longest time, and I'll tell you what, I was not impressed by the number of punches that Spence took in this fight. And Ugas seemed slow. He took way too many punches. And if he takes those same punches against Terrence Crawford, I think Terrence Crawford caves his face in. That's what I think is going to happen. I'm now on the Terrence Crawford bandwagon. So make some room for me, James. Scoot on over. I'm sitting with you right on the bandwagon now. Let's take it on.
Oh, James, hold on.
Saying that, what?
Yeah, hold on.
What? I already told you. What?
I do want to say this fight was a testament that we know now that Errol Spence's eye and his jaw and everything after his accident can hold up to punches. And
I don't know. I don't think Ugas has the power that Crawford
has. Right. No, you are absolutely right on that, Matty Bush. You are right about that.
Wrong.
Terrence Crawford's got way more power than Ugas will ever have. Ugas has trouble knocking anybody out.
Oh my God.
Crawford ain't beating Ugas.
Okay, let's just move on.
Okay,
all right.
Mute Filthy Rich for the once here.
Mute everybody.
All right, James, what's next for Ugas?
Oh my God. Oh, real quick. Ugas did not throw enough punches. He did not let his hands go enough. If he would have let his hands go, that would have been a different fight. All right, just go back and watch. If you haven't watched it, you said you watched it, go back and watch it. Ugas did not throw enough punches. I don't care how many of the copy box. He did not throw enough punches when it mattered. 100%. And I'm going to stand behind that. Anyway, what's next for Ugas? I mean, at this point, dude, he's going to be a gatekeeper. He's going to have to.
Are you kidding me? Wow.
Yeah, I do. Orbital bone is broken. Who is he going to fight next? I thought he did. I thought he didn't execute well enough against Errol Spence. He didn't execute well enough. That's my opinion. You got to agree with it. Everybody can disagree.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's fine.
Gatekeeper, you said. You kidding me?
Yeah.
Gatekeeper? That dude cleans out 147.
He is 35
Except
years
Spence.
Old.
He's the best. Spence is the best at 147. Rader, you're wrong Crawford. If you think. Go ahead. Save my time. Go ahead.
Crawford's the best at 147, but that doesn't matter. So Ugas, who's he going to fight? Boots? No. He ain't going to fight Ortiz either. He's probably going to end up fighting like a Thurman or a Conor Benn or even an Adrian Broner, something like that.
Bad boys.
Well, hey, first off, Keith Thurman's still dangerous, and so is Conor Benn. I want to talk a little about him.
We're not talking about him on this show. It doesn't matter. For the love of God, how long is this segment?
We can go forever.
That's all I gotta say. That's who he's gonna end up fighting. He ain't gonna get any of the top names at this point. He's gonna be a young guy coming up that's gonna fight Ugas because he's 35 years old and now he has to recover from a broken orbital bone and broken ribs and some other.
Brilliant. You know, James, I think you hit it right on the nose when he said boots. I think that's a good fight. Boots. That's an enter the spectrum fight for boots. Boots fights beats him. Just as bad as Crawford does.
Ugas is the top name yet.
That's why boots makes sense.
Oh my God, we'll talk off air.
All right. Anyway, that's the fights. Who do you agree with? There's a lot of argument this week. So who do you agree with? Throw it in the comments down below. Great fight. If you haven't watched it, please go watch it. It was a very entertaining fight. Very lot of punches thrown, a lot of phone booth fighting. So go ahead and go take a look at that. And also put down below if you think it was a cheap shot or not. We're all in agreement it was not, but I'm curious to hear what you guys have to say. All right, let's move on with the show. All right, Bruising Previews time. It's already been a long show, so we're just going to run through this one real fast. Tyson Fury, the heavyweight king of the world, is fighting Dillian White, giving Dillian White his respectful title shot, so to speak. We're going to do a quick breakdown from each of you guys and what to look for, and then a prediction. Judge, we'll start with you. What should we look for in this fight?
Well, from what I heard something today that Tyson Fury is coming in at the lightest he's been in, I don't know, ever at heavyweight, which I don't know how that's possible because he was 270 pounds. You can't, I don't know if he went on the Atkins diet or something, but all of a sudden he's, what, 240 pounds? I doubt that. I don't have the exact number, but I mean, you're going to be the keys to victory. Like Tyson Fury is going to be moving. He's going to be moving away from Dillian White. We know Dillian White is not a very fast individual. He will walk away from you. And when he walks away from you, Tyson Fury is going to have to capitalize on those types of situations where other people did not. So that's what you're going to look for. Tyson Fury is going to have to come in strong, come in fast. He's going to take opportunities and those advantages when White gets tired and capitalize.
I'll tell you, he's been up as high as 400 pounds. So losing weight is not as that hard for the guy. Apparently, you know, he's been a big guy at his heaviest. So, what do you think, Rich? What do you think? Any other things you want to add that you should be looking for in this fight?
Yeah, Tyson Fury needs to stay. If he's lost all this weight, he needs to stay light on the toes, control the ring, get Dillian White into. It's on the ropes if it's possible, and that could be his, those could be the keys to victory. Dillian White needs to again control the ring, hit the body, hit the face. If Tyson Fury bleeds, you're gonna have to attack that. You may be able to win this fight. Dillian White can win this fight.
He does bleed. He also likes to drink blood too, as we've seen. What do you think there, Matty Bush? Any points that these guys left out?
They did. They missed a huge fact, and they obviously haven't been watching any training footage, which I have. So
mute him. Mute him.
The guy is he is known for his study skills. So let's go.
You know what? I hate to say it. You know, sometimes I get bored and I watch some training footage. What I have noticed in Tyson Fury's training footage, yes, he looks very quick right now. And what I did notice, and he's going to implement it against Dillian White, he is working in a southpaw stance. So he will switch in the middle of this fight at some point, and it's going to be a game changer because the shots that I saw him throw as a southpaw look nasty. I'm just going to say it.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. Prediction time. Judge, we'll start with you. White versus Fury. Your prediction.
Fury. Knockout.
In the round. And nine. All right. Knockout nine. Filthy Rich.
If Tyson Fury thinks he can go southpaw and win this, man, he's in trouble. I don't know who's going to win this fight. I'm going to go. If he decides he's going to go southpaw, then I'll take Dillian White. That's stupid to go into southpaw and try something you've never done against Dillian White. Are you kidding me? I'll take Dillian White if Tyson Fury tries to do some stupid southpaw stuff that he's not comfortable with. And then if he retires, let him retire. I'll take Dillian White, round six.
Wow, round six, Dillian White. Mark it down as an upset. Matty Bush, your prediction?
I'm not gonna lie. I loved everything Richie said because, you know, I'm a Dillian White fan.
But that's your guy.
Richie. I'm not going to lie. After watching some training footage, and we haven't seen much from Dillian this whole thing. He hasn't even shown up to half the press conferences or anything. He's been like a ghost. And maybe it's because he doesn't want to get into that mental mind frame. You guys all know how I feel about Dillian and that left hook. It's a game changer. It can end any fight anytime he wants it if he lands it. I don't think he lands it, and I'm switching my pick, and I'm going to go Tyson Fury round 10 knockout.
Round 10 knockout. Even going against your guy. Interesting. All right.
I am.
I'm going to take Tyson Fury in a knockout in I'm going to go a little later than that. I'm going to go 10. I'm going to go 10 on this.
I said 10.
I said I'm going to go. You said good for you. I'm saying 10.
I'm a little going later
than what these guys are saying. Good time.
A little later than 10.
I'll go 11 then. 11. I'll go 11.
Go 12.
It gets stopped between round 10 and 11. How about that? All right.
I'm sorry. Round 10, a minute 37.
Oh, my God. We don't care.
All right, one last question when it comes to Tyson Fury. He has stated multiple times that this is his last fight. He is retiring after this fight. Doesn't care what happens in any of the other fights coming up. He's not going to fight a winner because then he doesn't care who wins because this is his last fight. Real quick, do you believe him? Yes or no? Right across the board. James, you believe him?
No.
No. No.
Okay. Filthy Rich changed his name to James. You said no, okay? No. James, you say no?
No.
No, I don't believe him either. I think the money's out there. He's not that old. Was he only 33? He's only 33 years old, right? Tyson Fury, I believe. Yeah, that's too young. He's not.
What Matt
well, he
say?
Fears he well he I said no, but because no. It's the only reason I would say yes is because he fears Usyk coming back.
I don't think Tyson Fury fears anybody. I really don't.
It might be the crazy Ukrainian. I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't even know if Usyk is by Joshua today. The truth. I don't think.
We just talked about this last week. Raider wasn't on the show.
Yeah. Good talk. All right. So that's our predictions. We all three of us predict Tyson Fury. Filthy Rich takes Dillian White. We all agree that Tyson Fury is not retiring. So that's our predictions. Place your bets. I did not look and see what the odds are, and I don't think anyone cares anyway. I believe it was like minus 500 for Tyson Fury. I'm not sure. I can double check.
I think it's plus 550 for White.
Put it in the comments.
Minus 659 for Tyson Fury, plus 464 for Dillian White.
Or we'll wait for it.
There it is. All right. Let's move on with the show.
Chase.
All right. That's our show this week. I forgot to change my background because that's what I do when it's been a long time. So we'll just throw this is usually me. Recently, taking a lot of naps.
Chasing the dragon.
Chasing that dragon. I almost got him last time, guys. I almost got him last time when I overslept for the show. I almost got him, but I didn't catch him. But all right. Filthy Rich, why don't you bring us on home?
I want to give a shout out to my boy Emmanuel, who just subbed recently. We're starting a parody country music band, apparently. So let's drink to that. Emmanuel, thanks, dog.
All right. James, if they're watching us, where can they listen to us? If they're listening to us, where can they watch us and see what I'm talking about of my background?
Man, I want to know where I can listen to this parody country music thing. This is like Weird Al.
We're stars, man.
But if you are watching us and want to listen to us, you can check us out on any major podcast site. If you are listening to us and want to watch us, you can go to YouTube.com/BruiseAndBoxing and check us out. Should be funny.
Yeah, it should be funny. It should be great. All right, Matty Bush, you already dropped some big news on us. Why don't you drop some words of wisdom on us out the door?
Not words of wisdom, but I want to say thank you to Chris Rader for buying me a computer. I couldn't get it hooked up tonight because I am a caveman.
I don't know who that is.
Rader Live.
Yeah, thanks.
I apologize. You know.
But protect the identities, buddy.
He hooked me up with something that I should make the show look a little bit better. I couldn't figure it out. And I apologize for that. And I also want to hear some of Richie's country album.
All right. So make sure you tune in. We'll put it in the link to the Apple iTunes below for Richie's country album, apparently.
With me and Emmanuel. Don't forget my boy, Emmanuel.
And Emmanuel.
All right. For Filthy Rich, Judge Jimmy James, the sauce. And Matty Bush, I am Raider Live. You ignore what he was saying, my actual name was. We will see you guys next week. Like and strap the sauce. Strap the sauce, please.